Do y'all see the picture? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Captured, I think it was Tuesday evening right here at the church, if I'm not mistaken. And just to give you a little heads up, as of course we did VBS, and what a blessing VBS was this week. I was so thankful, absolutely, for those who volunteered their time. And it was such a great spirit. And Lisa, I know, is out of town this week. She's going to come back next week prepared to give us a report and a testimony of how the Lord blessed this past week. But one of the things that was so neat is to see how God works, because lo and behold, would you believe that on the evening in which the lesson was focused on rainbows, here we have that take place. As you might recall, Tuesday evening we had torrential rain that took place, and then it just all of a sudden stopped. Anybody recall that? And so what happened was, as a result, was a rainbow went right over the church property. And if you look real close, above that rainbow is actually a double rainbow. So it was a double rainbow, and all of us were taking pictures like a bunch of tourists and what have you, taking all those pictures to capture the moment. But as I took that picture, and as I looked at the rainbow that was going over the cross right there on the steeple, I was reminded that it was some time ago, a few years ago, that we talked about the significance of sacred symbols. And those two symbols right there, both the rainbow and the cross means everything to us, doesn't it? It is a symbol of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a promise of salvation to be received by whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But once again, the rainbow is also a symbol of God's promise and His faithfulness, which has been sung about this morning. And so I thought, I was going a different direction at the beginning of the week, but I thought as we had that encounter, I thought it'd be nice to revisit the promise that is found in the rainbow. So I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, and we'll be looking at specifically verses 8 through 17. Once again, Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17 is going to be our text. Let me give you a little quick little background before we get into our passage of what was taking place right before the rainbow. Of course, we know that the world was very wicked in Noah's day and time. Violence and wickedness filled the world, is what Scripture says. And because of that wickedness, God decides to destroy the world by way of a flood. And so it is that there comes a time that there's going to be the flood that will destroy the world. But yet, God had given a way of escape. And that way of escape, of course, was the ark. And so it was that Noah and his sons built that ark for all of those years, and also, in the meantime, preached a message of repentance and a way of salvation from the destruction, the consequence, the punishment for sin. And then there came a day in which that offer, that invitation was closed, because those that were invited into the ark, they had the opportunity. But then the Bible says that when the animals came in and when Noah and his family came in, that the door was closed. And so judgment had to come upon the earth because of their sin. But the ark was God's vessel, an instrument of protection for His people. And so it was that Noah and his sons and the family and such were spared. And as the ark makes its way through the storms and the flooding that takes place, and as the water finally rescends, that coming up to this portion of Scripture which we're about to look at, that they are given permission to come off the ark and to make an altar, and Noah worships the Lord as he offers a sacrifice on that altar, which was received by the Lord. And then it is that following this time of worship, if you will, by way of a sacrifice on the altar, that this promise is given. Join with me now as we look into our passage to see this promise played out. Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17, it goes on to say this: Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds of cattle and every beast of the earth with you. Of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you once again, we are reminded that you are a faithful God. And so the promise that was given here in Genesis so long ago, you are faithful to fulfill that promise, which reminds us that you have made many covenants and many promises all throughout the Word of God. And as you have always been faithful to fulfill those promises, we can always trust you to fulfill and to be faithful to the promises that you have given. We thank you, Father, for that truth. As we unpack this a little bit further, we ask your blessing upon this time. We do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I simply want to reflect upon the promises found from the rainbow offered so long ago. Notice, first of all, that God redeems His people. God redeems His people. Once again, in the story of Noah and the ark, we see that God redeems His people. The rainbow is a symbol and a reminder of that truth. Once again, Noah and his family have been spared the consequences of sin, which was the worldwide flood. And so there is a restoration between God and man. In fact, some of our songs reflected and referenced that, right? Oh, that gulf, right? That was fixed. And so in this passage, in this context, we see that there's a restoration between God and man. Noah and his family received restoration and blessing. And the rainbow was a symbol of the reality of the redemption that they personally experienced. We're reminded as believers in Christ, as we reflect upon that promise and that covenant, we're reminded that Christ is our Redeemer. Christ, who was crucified in our place, has redeemed His followers from the consequence and the punishment of sin. It's Galatians 3, verse 13 in the New Testament that reminds us of this truth. It goes on to say in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. In other words, there is a curse of sin. And the curse of sin, according to the Word of God, is for the wages of sin is death. There's a curse that comes upon sin. And the consequence is that there's death and spiritual death, separation from a holy and righteous God for all eternity. That is a consequence of sin. But we're so thankful, as Scripture goes on to say, as we often reflect, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, right, of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so a passage such as Galatians is saying this very thing, that Jesus Christ went to the cross to take upon that curse upon Himself, and He did it in our place. And so we can cry out the blessing of being redeemed. In fact, Ephesians verses 1 through 7 goes on to say, in Him, referring to Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. I love what the song penned so long ago by Fanny Crosby says, referencing the importance of being redeemed. As she was touched with this thought, this wonderful, godly woman of the faith who happened to be blind wrote these words about the importance and the blessing of being redeemed. Listen to the first verse of this wonderful song. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. His child and forever I am. No wonder the passage we often reference around here is so special to us, right? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It's the process of redemption that allows us to be redeemed. As the ark was a form and a vessel of protection, so it is that Christ is our protection as followers of Jesus Christ. As the ark was a provision, so it is that Jesus is our provision. Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. He is the provision of Almighty God, God the Father, for salvation and redemption to take place. He is our provision. He is our protection. He's our redemption. So as we reflect upon the rainbow, we see that once again represents the fact that God redeems His people. The rainbow also reminds us that God remembers His promises. Throughout the service already, through way of song and by way of discussion and what have you, we have reflected upon this covenant relationship. In that passage, there's a reference to the covenant that God had formed with Noah. All throughout Scripture, we see that God is a covenant-keeping God. Not only does He form a covenant with someone like Noah, but He also forms a covenant with somebody like Abraham. Not only does He form a covenant with them, but David and others, and on it goes to be reminded that He is a covenant-keeping God. And in this promise of this rainbow, it's a reminder, once again, that God would never destroy the entire earth with a worldwide flood once again. The rainbow was a tangible sign of a pledge to memorialize this promise. In this passage, we see that God is forming a covenant with Noah, and that this covenant will continue throughout the descendants and throughout the generations. Once again, faithful is He to all generations. And as we already reflected and remember that as He was faithful to the covenants that He has made in the past, specifically the Old Testament, with those who feared Him and followed God, so it is that He will be faithful to the covenant that He has formed with us. And I don't know about you, but my favorite covenant is the new covenant, right? The new covenant which is formed by Jesus Christ. And as we reflect upon such a symbol, for example, as the cross, it reminds us of the covenant that God has made with us. For it is on the cross that Jesus once again died on the cross, and He shed His blood for our sins, for the remission of our sins. And as He's buried and as He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture, the tomb reminds us that the resurrected Christ is the fulfillment of all the promises that the prophets had been talking about and that God had made through the prophets of a Messiah to come. It is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Promise given, promise fulfilled. And so it is that Jesus Christ gives us a new covenant with God as we place our faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 8 refers to this covenant. It goes on to say this, referring to Jesus once again. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which establishes better promises. In other words, that covenant that God made with us through faith in Jesus Christ is superior and better to all the covenants ever formed. Jesus is superior to all the prophets. Jesus is superior to all the priests that came before him. He is superior. He gives us a greater promise and a greater eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9, another passage in Hebrews, goes on to say this in Hebrews 9, chapter 15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And so he calls on us to receive by faith a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we respond to the calling of God upon our life, and we receive salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, the promise is this, that one has eternal inheritance. As followers of Christ, we are so thankful for the promise of eternal life by following Jesus Christ and by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, who is a covenant God. As followers of Christ, we trust that God's promises found throughout the Word of God will be fulfilled. And so we can rest assured on those promises, and the promise found of faith in Jesus Christ results in this eternal inheritance in heaven for all eternity. I love what 2 Corinthians 1:20 says about this truth. It kind of stamps it, if you will. It goes on to say this about the promises of God. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. We're reminded as we go about in our day and time that often promises are made, right, by individuals. I can't help but think of the fact that many times as political season comes around, there's a lot of promises, right, that are made by candidates. But I imagine if you've been around long enough, you are reminded and have observed that they don't always keep their promises once they are elected, right? In your conversations, in your business issues and things of that nature that we're involved in from time to time, sometimes there's promises given, but unfortunately all those promises are not always fulfilled. Sometimes even friends are trying to do the right thing and such, and make promises, but sometimes even promises of friends or promises of family, they don't always get fulfilled because we're human and we mess up. We make mistakes and fall short of God's glory. But the beautiful thing in the promises of God is that He always fulfills them. See, the Bible promises salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible promises that the Holy Spirit, as He comes upon the life of the believer, will seal us to the day of redemption. The Bible promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us. So when you're going through those trials and those tribulations and those dark places in life, you can be assured that He's right there with you all the way. He's a covenant-keeping God, and He's faithful to fulfill His promises. Well, what a reminder that the rainbow gives us of the reflection upon these wonderful truths. Once again, it represents that God redeems His people. Once again, it reminds us, as we reflect upon this great symbol, that God remembers His promises. Finally, this passage demonstrates that the rainbow reveals God's glory to His people. Do you catch in the passage that there was a rainbow in the cloud? Can't help but be reminded that we have a visual illustration of that by way of this past week's rainbow that was also in the cloud, if you will, recorded and documented and such. But once again, while we see this unfold, we're also reminded that it reveals the very glory of Almighty God. You see, we see types of references to this in other passages throughout Scripture as well. Listen to what Ezekiel says as Ezekiel is receiving a vision and recorded in Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 28. It goes on to say this, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, which we can reflect upon and remember, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, referring to Ezekiel, I fell on my face and I heard the voice of one speaking. It's a reminder that when we get a glimpse, I guess you could say, of the glory of God, it should cause us to respond in humility and to fall on our face and worship Him. And so it is that God had revealed His glory to both Noah and Ezekiel as they're called to worship God. But He also reveals His glory now and will for all eternity as well. Listen to the description that's given to the Apostle John by way of vision in the book of Revelation. He goes on to pen the description of what is to come as he receives a vision of the very future and the throne of God in heaven. Listen to what is recorded in Revelation chapter 4, verse 3, which goes on to say, "And he," referring to Jesus, "who sat there was like the jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald." Isn't that something? Glimpse of the past, a glimpse of the present, recent past, and a glimpse of the future. You see, the passage goes on to reveal in Revelation that those who surrounded the throne are worshiping the Lord and giving Him glory. He has revealed His glory in the past. He reveals His glory in the present. He will continue to reveal His glory in the future and for all eternity. So as followers of Jesus Christ, as we reflect upon these truths, we're reminded that today we are called to worship the Lord now, for we will continue to worship God for all eternity. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says about this. It goes on to say, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glory God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." He bought us with a price by shedding His blood on the cross at Calvary for you and for me. And so in turn, we are called to glorify and worship Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 goes on to say, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, our purpose at the end of the day is to bring glory to the Lord. So as we reflect upon a passage such as that, how are we being called to glorify the Lord? Certainly He is calling people to repentance and to place their faith in Jesus Christ. And the very act of salvation by an individual that goes from a sinner and repents and becomes a sinner saved by grace and is transferred from death to life and to hope of all eternity in the relationship with Jesus Christ. That in itself, the salvation of one's soul, brings glory to the Lord. In fact, we're reminded, as Scripture references that, doesn't it? That when one soul is saved, that the angels rejoice in heaven, bringing glory to the Lord. And so we're reminded as followers of Jesus Christ that maybe even here today, or maybe by way of somebody listening, maybe they haven't received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so we encourage you, we implore you to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says you will be saved. We've got great news for you. You can go from death to life by turning from sin and your own way and turning to Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection was sufficient to pay for your sins and to pay for my sins. And whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. So today, we offer that as our first point of invitation, if you will, which is not our invitation. It's an invitation from Almighty God. If you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no better day. There's no better time. There's no better opportunity than right now. Excuse me, as I'm losing my voice. When you're weak, He is strong. And He will give you the strength as He calls upon you. You can't do it on your own. But by faith in Jesus Christ, call upon Him and He will gloriously save you. So in a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, which you have that opportunity to place your faith in Jesus Christ. But many I know are here that are already followers of Jesus Christ. Some that are new to this journey of faith. Some that have been on this journey of faith for such a long time, or for a longer time. I simply want to remind us all, no matter what your status is on your journey, whether you're starting, whether you're in the middle, or whether you're rounding and going to the finish line, if you will, may it be that our prayer, our desire, is to bring glory to the Lord. How is the Lord laying on your heart of the need of bringing worship to Him, of glorifying Him in your life? The Bible says, whatever we say in word and deed, do all to the glory of God. So however the Lord is laying upon your heart to serve Him and worship Him and glorify Him, I just say, simply respond in obedience. As the worship team comes forward and as we prepare for our time of invitation, reminder to those who are here without Christ, come to Christ today. For those that are in Christ, be thankful for the promises that are found in God. Yes and amen. His promises will be fulfilled. Cling to them and glorify Him with our lives. Let us pray. Father, we come before You this morning and we desire to bring glory to You. So may the responses during this invitation bring glory to You, we do pray. For the one that needs You, may they come to You and receive Your glorious salvation. For the follower of Christ who continues to need You, may we rely upon You and cling to You and cling to Your promises. May we also worship You with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all that we are, with all our being. We do pray. So bless, O Father, this time of invitation as we reflect upon Your goodness, Your faithfulness, and who You are as a great God. We do pray. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.